Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, and while in Washington, D.C. recently, I was briefing policy leaders and a congresswoman, and I met an amazing lady from South Korea. In fact, she's the person who hosted Charlie Kirk when he was in Seoul the week before he was assassinated. This is a woman who is leading an amazing charge against communism, for truth, for the gospel, for justice, for the Jesus way. Maybe we should call her Supergirl. Truth, justice, and the Jesus way. She's brilliant, she's funny, she's honorable, and she's visiting Liberty Hawk with some students sponsored by Mercury One, the American Journey Experience, that are new sponsors of this Pirate Money radio program. So welcome, Mina Kim.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
You know, it's an honor to have you.
It's an honor for me to be here.
Oh, it was so fun that day. We spent Ryan Helfenbein and we went and visited Heritage Foundation and Conservative Partnership Institute and America First Policy. We met with a congresswoman out of California, brilliant lady.
That's right.
And we just had a great day and had a good dinner at the
Ted's Montana Grill.
Yeah, that was fun. So tell our listeners and viewers a little bit about who you are, how you came to Christ. I mean, you're just fascinating to me and what you've accomplished in such a short time in Korea, and God's got his hand on you. Mm. How did that come to be?
So it's all by God's grace, first of all. But my name is Mina Kim. Currently, I'm leading a conservative organization in Korea and also in America for Korean Americans. What I do, how I came to Christ was all thanks to my parents, because I'm an only child in Korea. And back in when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, my mom always used to show me American movies instead of having me watch cartoons like other kids, right? So the movie that I watched at that age was, I think, Free Willy. And
oh, yeah.
Some other American movie that I was really inspired by. And I was always telling my mom that, Mom, I need to go to America someday, and then I need to study there. And then it happened. So I came to America when I was 11, and my parents were still in Korea because they had to support me financially, and they had their work there. And I came here alone. I lived in a dorm, went to private school, and then I was lonely. So I met God, because my mom, when I was little, always used to take me to church, and then every time she had a hard time or I had a hard time, she taught me how to pray, and that's how I came to Christ. And through those hardships and loneliness, I met God, and Christ and his love just filled my life.
Wow. Wanted to be an American because you saw American movies, which is awesome. But even more awesome is you knew you needed God when you got here, and you prayed, yes, and God filled your life and has changed your life. And now your parents were Christian then.
Yes, that's correct.
And took you to church, but that you were a little bit too young to really grasp the meaning of that.
That's
until
true.
You got here.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been in America then?
About 20, 24 years.
Wow.
Total.
Wow. And where did you go to school? What?
I went to high school in Wisconsin. And then middle school, I actually went back to Korea, and then because my mom wanted me to stay with somebody else rather than staying alone in America.
Yeah.
So back then, my aunt moved to New Zealand. So I went to New Zealand with my aunt's family for middle school. And then I came back to America for high school and college and then further.
Wow, what an international experience.
I know, it just happened to be like that.
New Zealand is, I've never been there. Is it beautiful? It looks beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. Ocean everywhere and sheep everywhere.
And what did you like best about middle school? Is a hard age. I mean, that's my
yes.
least favorite period of life. What mm-hmm. was it like in New Zealand for a Korean girl?
So I cried every day. And I was a little discriminated by people because back then Korea was not well known. So my friends and at school were asking me, "Oh, where's Korea? Is Korea a country?" And so that's
really
those were the reactions that I got from fellow students back then. And New Zealand is like a kind of like a hunt country, like hillbilly side. I was at, so not a lot of people knew about Korea, and that's when I learned how to be humble, actually.
Oh yeah,
because I was school president when I was in elementary school. Obviously, in South Korea, there are so many tiger moms and tiger dads.
Yeah.
My dad was a tiger dad. So he always wanted to, me to get ace, wanted me to ace in every single subject that I was taking in elementary school. And I was a school president, and I was so not humble. I thought that I could do anything. But then when I went to New Zealand, God just gave me those friends that were discriminating me and bullying me, and which, you know, made me turn to God and pray with
and,
that.
And you've become a true Supergirl, right? Just like in the comic books. You've got truth, justice, and all that. And so those learning experiences helped grow you. I remember when I was, I think it was high school, when I visited, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I visited Boston, Massachusetts. We went on a choir trip.
Okay.
And people said, well, where are you from? I said, from Oklahoma. Like with the Indians, like Native American Indians.
Oh, really?
Not India Indians. And I said, yeah. And, you know, I've got a Cherokee background. And so, and they said, oh, what was that like? And they were just so ignorant. And that's what kids are like. They were ignorant. And I said, yeah, you know, the Indians will shoot the arrows at the school bus, but they just bounce off the bus. And they said, really? No.
That's funny.
And so their ignorance of Korea, and yet Korea is a powerhouse in the world.
Yes.
And all right, so when you were in Wisconsin, you said,
yes.
Is that where you went to high school?
Yes.
What was that like?
I was in a city called Beaver Dam.
Where's Beaver?
Have you heard of it?
No.
I've never heard of it before either. It's in the middle of nowhere, that's what I thought, but it's close to Madison, actually.
Okay.
And it's a private school. Like, all I remember from the high school was studying and chasing rabbits and snow.
Wow.
And really good food.
And good, and so cheese, right? Wisconsin
cheese,
is known for cheese.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, and you know, I've been to Pleasant Prairie quite a bit because I do business there, and it's just over the border. But Wisconsin's a beautiful state.
Yes.
A lot of nice people. Were there a lot of international students?
About 10% of the whole student body was Koreans, actually.
Oh, really?
Because back then, that was around 2005 to 2008. That was when a lot of Korean moms and dads were sending their kids to America for study abroad program. And that was kind of like a trend back then in Korea.
So what did you do on holidays? Did you go home? Did you?
I went to my friend's house to experience the true American Thanksgiving or Christmas. Or I used to just fly back to Korea to see my parents.
Yeah. So what did you think of the traditional American Thanksgiving?
I loved it. Yes, stuffings and cranberry sauce.
And they don't celebrate that in Korea, right?
We do it in a different way and on a different date.
Oh, okay.
But I think I'm a lot more Americanized. So my parents were like, what are you? Now? So we had a really cultural difference. By the time I went back to Korea after high school and college, I didn't really get along well with my mom and dad because they were so Korean versus I was like a lot more Americanized.
So how did you get through that? Because I know you built a great relationship.
Yes.
So how did that happen?
With my parents, you mean?
Yeah.
So at first, we fought a lot. I was kind of like yelling at my mom and dad, why are you like that? Because, you know.
Now, let's be honest. That's true with almost every teenager.
Teenagers, right?
Regardless of background, which country you're from or whatever. That's kind of a teenager thing.
It is, yes.
Having raised two daughters who were fabulous, by the way. But still, you learn things and you know things as a teenager, which now they're in their 20s and they're like, you know, I realized that I was being a little bit of a teen. But
100%. Yes, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a cultural issue there because Koreans are based on a Confucius culture, right? So hierarchical order. So older people gets all the respect and then younger generation don't really get any respect in a way. That was my perspective.
Okay, I'm getting older, so I'm thinking about Korea
now. But you're never like that.
I'm thinking about moving to Korea.
maybe. So I went back home for summer break and then my dad just calls me, Mina, bring me water. And then in America, I learned to say please, thank you, and sorry, right? Those magic words. And Koreans don't have that magic word. So when my dad was like, bring me water, I felt that was a little offensive to me. So I was like, no. And then he got more and more angry, and that's how he, you know.
Well, there's a little cultural differences there, but I know you love your parents. I know your parents love you.
I do love my parents,
yeah.
Yes.
And so Yeah, the please, thank you, and sorry. They don't always come so easily. If they did, life would be better if we could learn to say sorry when we mess up. And it's something I'm working on, and I'm in my 60s now. So it takes a while to learn that, but we're working on it. All right, we're talking with Mina Kim from South Korea, who has built up Korea. We've got exciting things in our conversation right after this break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're talking with Mina Kim from South Korea, who grew up part in America, part in New Zealand, part in South Korea. A brilliant young lady, young to me, and she is doing amazing things around the world. In fact, she was with Charlie Kirk the week before he was assassinated with some great people like Bill Federer and Rob McCoy and Mikey McCoy. You know, and Ryan Helfenbein, who we hung out with in D.C.
for the whole day,
for the entire day. That was one of those days. You could make a movie out of that day. It'd be like there was a Michelle Pfeiffer movie that was made, and what's the actor that was in it? It was One Fine Day was the title. Mm. George Clooney was the actor. That's who it was. And it was we had a blast wandering around Washington, D.C., briefing very important people, going to super high-end clubs like the elite go to and having the best burger ever and that sort of thing. But you shared some of your story of how you came to the Lord and what matters. Let's talk a little bit about South Korea. And, of course, being a typical American, I'm going to ask, what do South Koreans think of America? That's what we'll start with.
Oh, wow. That easy question.
Yeah.
So, actually, South Koreans love America. I think we're pretty much like mini America. If you go to South Korea, I had so many speakers over for Build Up Korea, like including Charlie.
Yeah.
And last year was Don Jr. was there too. And all they were saying was, oh, this is just like America. And I was thinking, why? And it's the history, which we'll talk about later. But Koreans love America, American food. We recently opened Jimmy John's in the main street of Korea.
get you some Jimmy John's sandwiches.
Yes,
right.
And Five Guys and Shake Shack and all these food, you know. And yeah.
You know, my daughter went to Europe and she said, Dad, McDonald's is better in Europe because the food standards are better, I think. And Jimmy John's, I'd be interested to try it and see how it is in America versus Korea. That'd be an interesting taste test. Do they do any changes? Because you tasted both.
I haven't actually gone to Jimmy John's in Korea yet, but McDonald's, we have a bulgogi burger. I don't know if you've heard of Korean barbecue burger, but it's pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about South Korea, the people. Your nation is a very important nation that apparently in New Zealand they didn't really understand, but mm-hmm. so much economic growth, so much potential. The capitalist system really strong there where you build creative ideas. I mean, some of the great brands, you don't realize Hyundai and Samsung and LG and others. Those are Korean brands, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think Korea resembles 250 years of American experience as well. Because Korea, our first president, which is not well known because he's known as a dictator in Korea, but he actually did a really, really great job copying American constitution system and American values to establish South Korea right now. So we do have the similar and same, that Judeo-Christian value spirit kind of embedded in Korean history and the whole Korean culture. So South Korea, when you talk about South Korea, we're free. And we are, compared to North Korea, we have a lot more freedom for people to travel around the world, eat whatever they want to eat, you know, be on the social media freely without getting censored so far. Right now, it's changing a little bit, and we're going to talk about that too. But South Korea in general, we've experienced 70, 80 years of miracle. And we were the poorest nation on earth 70 years ago or 80 years ago, and now we're one of the top 10 economies in the world.
Wow. Well, let's take just the whole notion of Korea total.
Yes.
And then we'll say that it's one nation, but two systems, two separate governments, two, you know, but the people across, people under the system of North Korea, which is communism and a dictatorship,
yes,
versus the people under of South Korea who had liberty, security, and values presented to them, constitutional, biblical values. There's a lot of churches in South Korea.
For sure.
So you pointed to this. Don Rumsfeld first pointed out a chart at night, if you took a satellite image of the two countries, the difference. And then I just pulled a more recent satellite image, and you can see it there right now. Mm-hmm. North Korea versus South Korea. One is lit up like every major and successful Western nation in the world.
Yes.
And the other one is absolutely dark, except for little tiny sparks of light.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The main difference, major difference is politics. But of course, we go deeper down, it's spiritual, I believe. Because when we were divided, North Korea had all the fertile lands and all the better lands with all the resources. Versus South Korea, we had nothing. But just, you know, nothing out of the war. Everything was destroyed. We didn't have any resources. We were surrounded by the oceans all over. And what made our country different afterwards is the spiritual life that we had. And Korean people started praying on the mountains. I don't know if you've ever been or heard about that mountain prayer, prayer mountain in Korea.
No, but I've got to go. I've got a Korea story to share with you that I shared with you before, but I'm going to bring it up for a radio audience.
You have to.
But explain the prayer mountains.
Yes, so people go on a prayer mountain and then they would pray out loud. So this is a Korean style of praying, which is we pray out loud, which we did for Charlie Kirk when he was on the stage with me 5 days before he got shot. And just I had a, you know, God gave me these thoughts that I have to pray for him. But we learn that as we grow, how to pray and how that prayer made our country miraculously different than North Korea. And because God gave wisdom to our presidents on the way, they were able to create a country where we come up with the capitalism and then free market idea and the republic values.
Well, I don't know anyone driving a North Korean car, but I know a lot of people who will drive a Kia or a Hyundai or a Genesis, Korean cars, which are great, amazing cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who will use Korean appliances like the Samsung refrigerator that we have or an LG television or whatever. These are great corporations that have been built on free market capitalist principles.
100%.
And in large part led from a Christian worldview that allowed a biblical worldview that allowed all of this.
Of course. That's why I'm really thrilled and surprised to see how fast Korea could grow, which has a lot of side effects as well, because it's only been 80 years versus it's been 250 years almost in America.
Right.
And some of you guys are still struggling. You know, because human beings are imperfect.
Right.
And we are, you know, always working with God and try to be humble. And Korea is going through the similar phase, except we are surrounded by so many hostile nations around us, unlike America. America itself is very strong and big, but Korea, we are big spiritually, but physically we're surrounded by so many evil forces. So, which is kind of getting us,
Chinese communism, for one thing.
Yes, and North Korea
that
communism.
That is influencing in South Korea, trying to. North Korea, of course. But the spiritual, I remember there was a time where I talked to my friends who ran Voice of the Martyrs,
mm-hmm.
and they would go to South Korea and they would take Bibles into North Korea.
Oh.
But they're not able to do that anymore.
No, they're actually arresting those people who are sending Bible or rice to North Korea right
Why
now.
Why would that be?
I think it's very spiritual and evil because, you know, it's the American missionaries, you know, that came into Korea 75 years ago and influenced a lot of Korean people, including our first and second president, you know. And they learned English through learning Declaration of Independence and other like American founding documents, which is very, very powerful, right? And I think we forget the fact that we have to be grateful for those hard works that, and then the bloodshed by American people, not just the soldiers, but missionaries that came to Korea. And now I know the government and all the evil forces are becoming more and more communist. The communist forces are infiltrating into Korea, but I think it's more about the church that are sleeping right now. We are too settled And we've been too safe for a long time, for generations. And now we're forgetting the fact that we have to be vigilant all the time to keep the freedom and the spirit that we received from the ancestors.
Well, that's why you would do build up Korea. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
That's correct.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That is, and we're going to talk about prayer in a little bit. But in a lot of cases, it's about the money. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to take a break and just say there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it.
Ooh.
At Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, which is a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. You've seen Patriot Mobile, I know. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about our sister show, The Economic War Room, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So Patriot Mobile is promoting the same kind of things that you're promoting.
That's correct.
In South Korea. But the difference of the systems, which is so obvious if you look at a picture at night, but that the evil system, it does creep in. And we've seen this throughout the history of Israel.
Yes.
Where they get right with God and then evil would sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening here in America. And then I think America teaches that it doesn't matter what part of the world you come from,
mm-hmm.
because America's made up from people all over the world that came here.
Mm-hmm.
And people of all backgrounds, all in ethnicities, if you apply the principles of freedom, of liberty, and the gospel principles, the truth of the gospel, you can find success.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that in Korea.
Yes, of course.
At a very rapid pace.
Yes.
So what are the thoughts on somebody I studied in high school, big time, General Douglas MacArthur. What are the thoughts on General MacArthur?
Funny thing is, a lot of Koreans don't really think about him.
Really?
Yes. It's a lot more Americans, like including Charlie Kirk and yourself, who, yeah.
What do you think of MacArthur? Because we realized, he's
the hero that God sent us. And we were on the verge of losing freedom. And because of him and the American soldiers, we were able to keep our country free. And this is a big deal, which a lot of our young generation is forgetting. And they're not even forgetting, they're not learning from school because the whole education is very, very corrupt. I think it's happening in America as well.
It is.
And the first thing they touch is the history, you know, try to twist the history of God and how God built certain countries.
It's in my book, According to Plan, the 45 Goals of the Communist Party USA, and I'm certain the communists in Korea, but we had a grand experiment.
Mm-hmm.
That experiment is we're going to start 80 years ago, and we're going to decide, does freedom work or does repression, communism, and dictatorship work? And
exactly.
There's no better.
Mm-hmm.
You said it. North Korea had more going for them.
Of course.
And has failed miserably.
Exactly.
And South Korea has less going for. This is an amazing conversation. I know you've built an entire ministry on this, and we're going to talk about Build Up Korea when we come back from the break. But if you want to follow Mina, you can follow her on YouTube at MKIMTV or on Instagram, mina.kimmm. Follow Mina. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm honored to be joined by the founder and president of Build Up Korea, Mina Kim, who's a brilliant lady. We call her Supergirl. That's her new nickname. And Supergirl's here telling us about the things that are happening in Korea and this ministry that you've got, Build Up Korea. How did that start?
It all started by the grace of God, but God showed me Charlie Kirk in America, who is awakening the young generation. And I was inspired by it. I went to his America Fest this one year around 2020 and 2021. And that's when I started praying to God that, God, I must bring this movement, or you must bring this movement to Korea to awaken Korean young generation, because this is the way.
That is an impossible thing that you have accomplished there. That is a miracle, because how do you, you go to something and say, well, this is great. I think I'll bring it to Korea. I mean, that seems like an impossible task, but nothing is impossible with God.
With God, of course. So for 2 years after that, until 2023, I was just praying and I was just working on my podcast, which is MKim TV, where I, you know, try to describe or give people the right idea of what's happening in America, because all the mainstream media in Korea, including America, they're all leaning towards one way only. And I wanted to give them, you know, this is really happening in America, and you have to listen to this side of the story.
Yes.
So that's how it. That's how I was praying for 2 years, doing my own work as a podcaster, and then on 2023 New Year's Day in Korea, we have this thing called a New Year's service. So at 12 a.m. in the morning, from December 31st to January 1st, going from to January 1st. That's midnight.
Right.
We have a midnight service and giving like kind of our first ourselves to God for the very first moment of the year. And then I was praying, and then I felt this huge, heavy burden from God, of course, saying that this year is the year that you have to, like, you're bringing in this movement.
Wow.
So I heard that kind of like a voice from God, you know, telling me I should go on with it. And then I didn't believe it. I didn't want to, because the size of the conference and then the whole event I was picturing was too big.
It is too big. And how could one person do that?
I know. Exactly.
But God can do it.
Yes, of course. And what God did through my family's life is my father got into a horrible accident in 2021, and he became quadriplegic.
Oh, no.
And he was the main financial source of our family. And then he just, you know, went to the hospital for the whole, until now. Right now, he's in his coma, and I believe God is working with him. You know, he's a person of God.
What, we will have to pray for him. What's his name?
His name is a little hard to pronounce, but Hwansoo Kim.
Hwansoo Kim?
Yes, that's right. You can call him Mr. Kim.
Mr. Kim.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to pray for him, because the power of prayer is enormous.
Amen.
And the notion that you would go away on New Year's and go to church and get from download from God, this is what I want you to do. I do that every year.
Wow.
For New Year's. And you're one of the answers to those prayers here at Liberty Hawk. Because every year I would go away, and the Lord said, I have a property for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me exactly where it was, and I'd come home and I'd tell my wife, and she'd say, when do we move? And I'd say, well, when the Lord makes it open. And she found a property here with a realtor and thought, this is it. And I said, no, that's not it. When God provides it, it will be ready to move in on day one. And she said, well, how is that going to happen? I said, we'll just ask him. And we'll ask him in the fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension is something I learned reading a book. I was in Tulsa. I was in college years, so I'm in my early 20s. And my roommate, who went to Rhema Bible Training Center, gives me a book titled The Fourth Dimension by a Korean pastor, Dr. Cho.
Amazing.
And I'm reading the book.
Wow.
And this is a fascinating book. It's all about asking God specifically for things. And it says in there, you've got to be very specific in your prayers. And how you do it is you access the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth dimension, we know what the three dimensions are. We live in a 3D world, right?
Right.
This is the fourth dimension. And that is the presence of God, where
yes.
God dwells. And so I finished reading the book and I applied it. I said, Holy Spirit, take me into the presence of the Lord. Lord, I would love to speak with this man sometime. And
mm-hmm.
you know the story, but I'm going to tell it again. So I said that as I closed the book, and the phone rang, and I answered it. Now, I'm working at Royal East Limited in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at South Roads Mall, and I am selling Asian imports. It's an Asian import sales store, retail store. So we sell nunchucks and geese and ginseng tea and all sorts of things that have come from Asia. And my boss is Korean. And he'd come here, and his wife was teaching at Oral Roberts University. She taught French, spoke perfect French.
Interesting.
And so Mr. Park would every day, he would stop, you know, whatever he was doing at around noon, around lunchtime, and he'd go eat lunch. He'd tell me he's going to eat lunch. And anyway, so he goes to eat lunch. I close the book up, and I say, Lord, someday I'd like to speak with this man. And the phone rings. And I turn around and I pick up the phone. It's not a cell phone. It's a wired phone on the wall. I pick up and I say, Royal East Limited, may I help you? And I hear these words. Yes, is Mr. Park there? And I said, no, he's not. He's gone to lunch. Will you tell him Dr. Paul Yongji Cho from Korea has called him, because every time I'm in the United States, I call my dear friend, Mr. Park. I had no idea that he knew him. And just wanted to say hi. And I said, Dr. Cho, you will not believe this. I just finished reading your book. And I asked specifically of the Lord, I'd like to speak with that man sometime. And you called on the phone. And his words were, yes, that's how it works. Which is something my family says over and over and over when we see God's hand move. We say, yes, that's really? How it works. And you heard from God that he wanted you to build up Korea have an event. And it happened. And yes, that's how it works.
That's right. Amen. Well, that's a crazy story, by the way.
It is a crazy story, but so is yours.
It's really
what
encouraging.
What a miracle. God is doing things that we humanly cannot do.
That's so true.
And that's what we need more of. That's what young people need more of. Mm-hmm. They need to realize when they see Charlie Kirk being assassinated and they say, what an evil world we live in. And there's this big, nasty fight over Israel and Qatar and all of these horrible things that are going on. We need to step back and realize God's still alive. God still has a purpose, and God had a plan for Korea.
Amen.
So what is Build Up Korea doing now?
So Build Up Korea is educating young generation of American history first, because Korean kids are not interested in learning about Korean history because they're not fun. But if we talk about American history first, they get interested all of a sudden.
Do you know Dr. Ben Carson?
Not in person, but I do know him. No,
I think I introduced you to his chief of staff.
Yes, that's correct.
Who I believe is Korean, you should talk to her, because the Little Patriots videos that Dr. Carson has produced are designed to educate young people on American history.
Ooh.
And if we could get them translated,
where
you could show those videos, I think that is it.
Of course.
And Dr. Carson's a great, great, great
man. I would love to get him and you to Korea for the next Build Up Korea event.
I would love that as well.
Yes.
So you've got offices. I look here, Atlanta, London, Israel. What does that mean?
So part of it's prophetic, because as I was praying, God told me that it's not just going to be set in Korea only, because this spiritual fight I'm understanding these days is not just America's fight or Korea's fight. It's a global fight.
It is.
Yes.
It's a darkness and light.
Majority of darkness versus a few light.
Which is the whole Korea map. There's the darkness and then there's the light.
That's true. So prophetically, I'm telling myself that biblical words has to be the standard of everything. So it's like we have to fit to work to fit the Bible or what the Bible says, not fitting the Bible verses to fit us, which is what's happening these days. So Bible says we need to pray for Israel and to bless Israel.
Right.
That's why I put Israel in there.
Good.
And then London, back then when I was creating this business card, and even right now, heard that they're going through the similar phase spiritually.
We call this, we've started a program here at Pirate Money Radio Economic War Room, Saving Civilization Action Network, SCAN, which was Charlie's vision.
Wow.
He asked me to lead it, and it covers. So South Korea's in civilization.
Yes.
London and England are in civilization, but they're under attack.
Exactly.
And right now, you'll see it's an immigration attack, but man, if we can get people that are immigrants that assimilate and adopt the truth, the gospel, the liberty of the Constitution, they'll prosper like South Korea did relative to North Korea. It's
That's
the principles that work. Yes.
Right.
So London's interesting to me, because I just read where a man from London who was a consultant came to Florida, and he took a picture. He was on a weekend trip with one of his clients, and he held up a rifle and took a picture of himself with a rifle and said, look at me, I'm in Florida holding a gun. Somebody in England complained that they felt threatened by that because it was on his social media, and as soon as he returned to London, he got arrested.
No way.
A loss of freedom.
No freedom. No free speech.
No free speech. No. It's kind of crazy what's going on. But London's a part of Western civilization. Mm. Historically, has propagated the gospel as much as any city on earth.
Of course.
And we love London. And in fact, we've partnered, and support for this program comes from Glint, which is a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. Glint was founded by a man in London. Who's become a dear friend. But with Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, manage their account through the Glint app, also available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. But that's an example of the London financial system coming up with a creative way to use gold and silver. By the way, we've passed laws to do this in five states, signed into law, which is Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and Missouri, those five states we talked about earlier. And we're looking at Glint as a technology service provider, but I don't want it to be housed in London. I want it to be housed in America. So we're negotiating with them on that. But I really do think that bringing these principles of truth and the Constitution to the world, so to Israel, to London, to Atlanta, to New York, to Florida, to South Korea, to wherever, is an important thing, and you're leading a charge. You're like an heir to Charlie's anointing to carry this. And, you know, I'm just so excited about all the great things that you're doing with Build Up Korea.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
We've got one more segment, but how do people follow you? What's the best way?
On YouTube, MKim TV, it's my podcast. I've been doing it for 5 years now. And then Instagram is my main social media. And then I do X, work on X as well.
All right. We'll be back with Mina right after this break, and we'll cover more.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by an amazing lady who is doing great things for liberty, for the gospel, sharing it with the world, who's got a great international background. And she invited Donald Trump Jr., who came to Korea and shared, and then Charlie Kirk, the 5 days before he was shot, he was with you. What was that rally with Charlie Kirk like?
It was very unexpected because Charlie didn't like to travel abroad, especially with his new kid and stuff. But he decided to come to Korea. And then, of course, he went to Japan afterwards. And he came and he wanted to visit a few places that I've never thought about him visiting. So we actually had arranged several meetings for Charlie. But he had to cancel all those meetings, of course. That's him. And he said he wanted to visit the DMZ, where he could see North Korea from the border. Mm-hmm. And then also the statue of General MacArthur that you just talked about.
Yes.
Yes, I thought that was a little strange, but it makes sense because...
Not strange. That's exactly what I would do. Those are the two stops I would want to make.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the Koreans would never do that. You know, I hear from American people sometimes that, oh, it looks like you love America more than us. And then for our perspective, you guys love Korea more than us.
Wow. Isn't that funny?
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a true unity.
It is funny. So what would the Korean message be to America? You've been here, so you see that there are good people.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of wonderful people in the world. And by the way, I don't think people are by nature good. I think people by nature have a sin nature.
Of course.
And with Christ, we can become good. But I enjoy meeting people, even those that aren't Christian, and have compassion for them and appreciate them and the uniqueness of how God made them. But what would your message be to America? You've been here and you've been in various parts of the country and you're going to be in California. And what's your message?
So Koreans' message to America. The first thing is whatever happens in America happens in the world. So I would never imagine that Korea would face the mass migration problem. So Charlie Kirk, before he went home back to the States, he told me that, you know, Korea will soon face the mass migration problem. And then right as soon as he left, something happens in Korea that we would accept so many foreigner from certain country called China without taking or looking at any visas or checking any identifications. So he said it right. So whatever happens in America happens in Korea and all the world. So what I want to tell American people is that please stay vigilant.
Hold the standard.
Yes. Yeah. And then please keep the freedom that you guys have, because that's what made your country the most powerful country in the world. It's not the money. It's not the people. It's God. And it's the biblical values. And that's what shaped, I believe, the Western civilization. And I think we really need to save that. And all the forces other than America or some of the free countries that are left, other totalitarianism or the communism forces are coming in to eat us. And they are powerful and they are wise too, and they're smart. And in order to fight against them, we need America, because you're the lighthouse of the freedom.
Well, I need you as spokesperson for Saving Civilization Action Network, which is fighting the four horsemen of the American apocalypse, and our six trials by fire. The four horsemen are Communist China, which is red, the red horse, green, which is political Islam, the blue, which is the globalists, the World Economic Forum, and so forth, that would tell you you must have open borders and tell you you'll own nothing and no capitalism and all that. And then the yellow, I call them the traitors and the cowards in Wall Street and in Washington that are willing to sell out the world for their little piece of profit.
Yes.
They're like the golems from The Ring. Give the Lord up everything of the Ring. For the ring.
Yes.
And they'll have their little little cowardly win there at the expense of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my concern. So do you have a warning? Actually, I want to ask this first. So what was the feeling in South Korea when President Trump won the second time?
The second time.
Yeah.
So it's very divided. So our group of people who are Christians and conservatives, they were cheering, because if President Trump didn't become the president, our country would have fallen to communism already as of 2025 right now.
That is a bold statement that I am 100% certain is true.
Yes.
I believe you 100%, but I don't think the typical... Can you imagine America without South Korea standing up for free markets and for individual personal liberty? Can you imagine how bad the world would be, how bad Asia would be if China were able to absorb Korea, which they're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that strong statement, it would have fallen already.
Yes, because already, even with President Trump in office right now, they're jailing our pastors. They're trying to censor every voice in Korea. So they're arresting this one young lady who were just, peacefully marching in front of the courtroom or, you know, in Korean street. So that's what's happening in Korea right now, even with the President Trump in office.
Well, when Charlie left, Bill Federer said, watch, they're going to arrest this pastor. And they did. I don't know the pastor's name, but he warned
Sohn, Pastor Sohn.
He was with you.
Yes. Yes, he was with us.
And is a part of this. And where is he now? Is he still in prison?
Yes, he's still in prison.
We need to pray for him, too.
We
need to pray for your father.
Yes.
And we need to pray for Pastor Sohn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. We're gonna do both of those.
Thank you so much.
What other? I think a lesson from what you're doing is the importance of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it my whole life. They're our future, and I was the future when I was a young person. And now I look at my kids and my friends and their kids and their grandkids and so forth, and I was like, that is the future. We better build them up.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing. So it's a youth movement.
Mm-hmm. It's a youth movement. Copied off of the American youth movement, of course. And I see so much hope in American youth. And every time, you know, I see a lot of my friends who go to major universities in America, they would say, oh, Americans are so racist. But you know, as Korean living in America, my perspective on American people and American young generation is they're the nicest people on earth. And I think it's because of God and the legacy that God has left this country and also to Korea. So what was the question again? I'm sorry, I'm losing it.
That brings up another point for me, Mina, is I have a friend who was raised here. She's from India, and she was raised here. And she went back to India on a visa issue with her family. Mm-hmm. And she came back, and she said, you know, what bothered me was that in India, they think that Indians are better than everybody else.
Mm.
And she said, that seemed very racist to me. They asked me, how is it that you can live in America with all those different races? They don't think of themselves as racist. They just think of themselves as better because they're, and that's true in many parts of the world. But in America, it's a melting pot.
Yes.
I mean, you can't go down the street. You don't just see one individual race. You can see that in some countries, but you don't see that in America. You see people from all kinds of backgrounds. But if they're united by a system, by a faith in Christ, all of that, then they're family.
Yes.
They're the same. And so I feel like I could go to Korea and be with your friends and feel right at home. And I hope you feel whenever you're here among these same people, you're right at home.
100%.
That's what changed. It's not the color of our skin. It's not the nation into which we were born. Mm-hmm. It is the principles that we stand for.
Amen.
The problem I see is America, a lot of people are wanting to come into America and they say, I don't want to be an American. I want to be Somali.
Right.
I want to be whatever background that they're coming from.
Yes.
And they don't want to assimilate. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care where you come from. Mm-hmm. If you want to be an American and be a part of the system that wins, then we want you here. But if you want to take us to a North Korean system where there's no light at night and there's a dictator and that people are massively oppressed and desperately poor, I'm not interested in that.
That's right.
That's not expanding freedom around the world.
Same for Korea.
Yeah, I believe it. So what do we need to do for young people? Because you've seen them both in Korea. We need to give them opportunity, and we also need to address this issue of affordability.
Yes.
Because I know that's hitting young people.
That's so true. So young people, giving opportunity, I think, is the most important thing. And that's what I learned from Charlie Kirk, hosting his own event, having all these young generation and young influencers on the stage, on the same stage with maybe sometimes Donald Trump Jr. or President Trump even. And that kind of gives them the idea that, oh, as a young generation, we could also take part in this society and this part of the world. And that's the mission that we have as Christians. We need to participate to be the light of the world.
And so I'm going to invite you to the second project. We mentioned SCAN.
Yes.
The second project we have is the Economic Justice Board.
Yes.
We're proposing to President Trump that he develop this like he's done the Religious Liberty Commission so that he can understand the needs of young people like those that you work with in Korea and here. And how do we foster policies? And we've come up with a word, a three-letter word. ARK stands for ARK.
Not Arkansas.
But when you have the floods like Noah experienced and you have to be protected and sheltered from these massive storms and floods, you need an ARK.
Mm-hmm.
And the ARK is built on affordability, reward, and kindness. And the notion is that we've got to first triage the immediate need, which is affordability.
Mm-hmm.
People can't afford to live and eat and do and stuff. And then we've got to give them a system that offers reward, like South Korea has relative to North Korea, to where you work hard and you get rewarded for it, and give them opportunities to save and build. And then kindness, where we will be generous for those less fortunate rather than government handout solving the problem.
Right.
We inculcate it in individuals that Christ has called us to be cheerful givers. And if you see someone in need, to meet that need. And if we do those three things, I think young people have a great future.
Amen. I believe so too. And that sounds like America.
That's what America is supposed to be. All right. So thank you, Mina, for being part of Pirate Money Radio. We're going to be praying for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Mr. Kim and I pray for Pastor Song. Bless them both. Heal them, restore them, and bring them liberty. Listen to this wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman and Mina Kim for Pirate Money Radio.